morning, and welcome to the WGTD Radio Theater. This morning, we start our 11th season. Yes, 11th season, with our annual Cartoons on the Radio show, with a mashup of favorite cartoon characters. A Cartoons on the Radio mashup 2015 was written by Stephen Brown and Michael Ulstrup and stars members of the 91.1 Players. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah Dumay, Dunn and McTernan, a full-service law firm with an emphasis on personal injury, civil litigation, and business law. Also supporting the WGTD Radio Theater is the not-for-profit Brown Ulstrup Performing Arts Foundation, located in Salem, Wisconsin. The mission of the foundation is to develop and promote excellence in the performing arts in Wisconsin and the Midwest. The big event this past December was the blatant attack by the evil communists of North Korea on that most beloved of American industries, movies. To support our artistic brothers and sisters in the film industry, the WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 Players launched their own counterattack on Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Kim Jong-un, you are toast.
Toast? I could really go for some toast. Maybe some whole wheat with butter and grape jam?
That's not what the announcer means, Bullwinkle.
No, I'm not sure what you mean, Rocky.
The announcer said Kim Jong-un is toast. That means it's all over for him.
What's all over? The grape jam?
No, Kim Jong-un.
Who's he?
The leader of North Korea.
Don't they call him Dear Leader?
No, that was his father.
How about Great Leader?
His grandfather.
What do they call Kim Jong-un?
The Great Successor.
Not much of a title, is it?
Not really. Say, we better get back to our show, Bullwinkle.
Indeed we should. So, before anyone else interrupts my opening, let's stand up for the American way and listen to a Cartoons on the Radio mashup 2015.
And now, it's our favorite nuisance squirrel, Rocky and Bullwinkle. A thunder of jets and an open sky, a streak of gray and a cheerful...
Hi!
A look, a whirl and a vertical climb, and once again you'll know it's time for Red, White, and Blue Moose, or The New Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle and Friends. Starring the supersonic speedster Rocket J. Squirrel and his pal Bullwinkle the Moose, and a host of others. We join our heroes in Frostbite Falls as they are sorting through papers to prepare their taxes.
Hey, Rocky, do you know what this is?
Let me see, Bullwinkle. Oh, looks like a receipt from a meal.
Is it deductible?
Depends, Bullwinkle. Was it a business expense?
I can't remember. Do I do business?
To be honest, Bullwinkle, I don't know what you do.
Then I suppose I shouldn't deduct it.
Probably not, Bullwinkle.
What about this, Rocky?
What is it?
It's a bill for my lawyers, Aaliyah Dumay, Dunn, and McTernan, when I needed help with my uncle's will.
You mean your Uncle Dulap?
That's the one, Rock.
Say, whatever happened with that upsidaisia mine he left you?
I don't know, Rocky. I donated it to the government and never thought about it again.
And just to remind our listeners, Bullwinkle inherited a mine chock full of the precious mineral upsidaisium located in Mount Flatten. What makes upsidaisium so valuable is that instead of falling down, it falls up. In fact, Mount Flatten has so much upsidaisium in it that the entire mountain floats. Although the government thought it sounded like a good idea, there was nothing it could do for it. So they tethered Mount Flatten to a tower on a military base out west and forgot about it.
But I have not forgot about it.
That's right. Boris Badenov and his femme fatale, Natasha Fatale.
Hello, darlings.
Remember all about Absidasium very well.
Yes, we do.
So what, Boris? What can we do with it now?
I have big news.
Big news?
Yes, big news.
This news not like other big news you get, where it wind up not being so big in the end.
No, this is big news.
So tell me, big news.
I got us job.
Job? Is this good job? Not like others you find for us.
This job just made for us.
But we spies. No job for spies like us. Pennsylvania go broke.
No. Pennsylvania all screwed up now. But someone else wants us for spying.
Who?
North Pennsylvania.
There is a North Pennsylvania?
Yes, there is North Pennsylvania. It is small country south of Pennsylvania with no electricity.
North Pennsylvania is south of Pennsylvania?
Yes.
If south, why called north?
I don't know. I know right script. Just go with story.
Okay.
It's perfect job for us.
So that dastardly duo is back in business working for the foes of all that is good and wholesome.
You probably should talk to your accountant, Bullwinkle, and see what she thinks about the lawyer bill. After all, that bill is sort of old, isn't it?
So?
Well, the IRS only allows you to deduct bills from last year.
Why is that?
I don't know, Bullwinkle. Just the way it is.
Okay. So how about this receipt?
But little did our heroes know, as they were pouring through the shoeboxes full of Bullwinkle's receipts, that those ace government workers sort of lost track of Mount Flatten as it hovered above that military base out west.
Say, Sarge, this rope attached to Mount Flatten looks like it's going to break any second.
That may be, Private, but our orders are to stand guard, not to fix ropes.
But, Sarge...
You heard me, Private. You are to just stand guard and report what you see.
Okay. Sarge, I have something to report.
What now, Private?
I'd like to report that the rope holding Mount Flatten to the ground broke, and Mount Flatten, Upsidasium Mine and all, are floating away to the northeast.
And indeed, the Private was correct. Mount Flatten was floating back east towards, of all places, Frostbite Falls.
So, Boris... Who our new boss?
Phil is leader.
Ugh, I thought we through with him.
He out of job too. North Pennsylvania hiring everyone back.
But at least we have job.
Yes, we have job again.
Say, Boris, darling, I have question.
What is question?
I thought the leader of North Pennsylvania was called Fearless Leader.
No, he called Great Successor.
Great Successor, not leader?
No, his father called Dear Leader.
Dear Leader?
Da. And his father called Great Leader.
Great Leader.
Da.
And who leader before that?
Emperor Hirohito.
Oh, I thought Tsar was leader.
No, Tsar lost to Emperor.
Oh, we not do so well.
No.
But now leader called Great Successor?
Da.
Not much of title.
No, but we got job.
Da, we have job.
And Philil's leader are boss.
Ugh.
So, folks... Here we go again. Bullwinkle and Rocky have no idea what's in store for them, and Boris and Natasha are back in the spy business. What could possibly go wrong? Join us next time for Mount Flatten Floats My Boat, or Follow the Leader.
Hello, Peabody here. I come to you from my luxurious penthouse apartment overlooking Central Park in Midtown Manhattan. I'm waiting for my boy, Sherman, to come home from school, which is, of course, one of the most prestigious academies in the country. Nothing but the best for my boy. Is that you, Sherman?
Yes, Mr. Peabody.
Sherman, come. Sherman, sit. Sherman, eat your snack. Good boy, Sherman.
Thank you, Mr. Peabody.
What did you learn in school today, Sherman?
We studied all about latitude and longitude. I guess we also call them meridians and parallels.
That's right, Sherman.
So we can find anywhere in the world just by knowing the latitude and longitude numbers?
Exactly, Sherman. Of course, being a dog, I don't need that sort of thing. Knowing where everything is just instinct for me. You humans need to know latitude and longitude or you would never know where you are.
I see, Mr. Peabody. I do think it can be a little confusing, though.
That's not totally surprising. Frankly, I find most things that humans do confusing, but that's the world we're left with. What can I say?
Too bad dogs don't run the world, right, Mr. Peabody?
I say that to myself every day, Sherman.
Did you know that some borders between the states and even some countries are based on latitude and longitude?
Of course, Sherman. Say, let's look at the globe and I'll show you. Here we go, Sherman. Look at the boundaries of the state of Colorado. They are all based on latitude and longitude. In fact, all states except one have at least one boundary based on either latitude or longitude. Can you guess which state does not have boundaries based on that?
Sure, Mr. Peabody. Hawaii.
A good boy, Sherman. And look at this long section of the border between Canada and the United States. That border is along the 49th parallel, or 49 degrees north latitude.
Sure enough, Mr. Peabody.
And way over on the other side of the globe, the boundary between North Korea and South Korea is based on the 38th parallel.
But Mr. Peabody, for being based on the 38th parallel, it's not exactly a straight line.
What can I tell you, Sherman? Once again, humans got it wrong. You know, Sherman, I think you would be a good idea to show you how the border of the 38th parallel actually came about.
You mean we get to go in the Wayback Machine, Mr. Peabody?
Of course, Sherman. As my boy, I want to avail to you all the fruits of my success and genius.
Oh, boy. Can we go right now?
Okay, Sherman, we'll go. First, stay. Set the controls. Okay, Sherman, come. And we're off. We arrived precisely at the place for which I set the Wayback controls, on the Korean Peninsula in 1952. We found ourselves with the American delegation as they were discussing the latest ceasefire agreement sent to them from the North Koreans.
Colonel, will you please tell me again what the idiot leader of the North Koreans has proposed to us? I still can't believe it.
General, I've read their documents over and over, and they want to withdraw their forces to 38 degrees of longitude.
Are you sure?
Yes, General.
That wasn't a problem in translation?
No, sir. The South Koreans did the translating, in fact.
By some dumb chance, where exactly is 38 degrees longitude?
Since you didn't say east or west, that would mean North Korea would extend west to Moscow, or even further west to the Atlantic Ocean.
What's going on, Mr. Peabody?
It would appear that the great leader has mixed up latitude and longitude. He probably means 38 degrees north latitude, but is saying longitude instead.
Great leader? I thought the leader of North Korea was called the great successor.
You forget, Sherman, that we have gone back in time to 1952 when the grandfather of the current leader, the great successor, was in charge.
So the grandfather was the great leader?
That's right, Sherman.
Who is the leader next?
Dear leader.
So now they have the great successor?
Now you have it, Sherman.
Great successor. Not much of a title, is it?
No, Sherman, it isn't. But we have a more important problems at hand.
We learned that longitude goes to the North Pole to the South Pole with a zero at Greenwich Mean Line near London.
Very good, boy. And then 38 degrees east measured from there would put the border at about Moscow. 38 degrees west would put the border in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
That would mean North Korea would rule the entire Eastern Hemisphere.
Sherman was learning quickly. Indeed, such a mix-up in coordinates would mean world domination by, of all countries, North Korea. That kind of lunacy wasn't due until 2014. Besides, it was impossible that the Soviets and the Chinese would ever agree to that. It must be a mistake. I needed to get into action. Oh, General, sir?
Yes, what do you want? Oh, who exactly are you and how in blazes did you get in here?
Peabody here. As far as how I got here, well, suffice it to say that being a dog, I can be very creative in how I get from one place to the next. But I do want to help you. I have some ideas that I think might rectify the situation.
What's your idea?
Well, it goes something like this. Being the creative creature that I am, I get into the great leader's headquarters, quietly make the changes to the documents, and then get them resent here.
You can do that? Sneak in without anyone noticing?
Of course he can, sir. He's Mr. Peabody.
My integrity forbids me from avoiding the truth, so I do have to agree with my boy. What I propose might be a problem for most, but certainly not for me. What I didn't quite tell the general was that it wasn't the North Korean headquarters that I was going to, but the Soviets. Come, Sherman, off we go. Lots to do, and we don't have much time. And off we went to visit the infamous Joseph Stalin himself. We arrived at the dictator's headquarters while he was reviewing the results of yet another failed five-year plan.
We not make plan! Who is responsible? I will purge them!
Mr. Dictator, sir, could I have a moment of your time?
And who? Or what are you?
Peabody here. This is my boy, Sherman.
Hi, Mr. Stalin.
What you here for?
Well, I'm not sure if you are aware, sir, or should I say comrade, that your ally in North Korea made a slight error in his peace proposal to the United States.
Oh?
He mistakenly used the word longitude when he should have used latitude. The way the treaty is worded now, North Korea's boundary would be just west of Moscow.
What? Get that idiot on the phone. Great leader, my foot. Say, Peabody, you want to run my next five-year plan?
As tempting as that challenge would have been, I politely declined and headed back to American headquarters in South Korea, where they were signing the corrected peace armistice. So there you have it, Sherman, and why understanding latitude and longitude is so important.
Wow, Mr. Peabody, I guess it really is important. Borders all over the world could get goofed up.
Indeed they could, Sherman. After all, a border in the hand is worth two in a bush.
And now,
Yogi Bear is
time for Yogi Bear and Boo Boo. Yogi Bear is always in the
strangest hand. Hey, Yogi. Isn't it a beautiful morning in Jellystone Park?
Indeed it is, Boo Boo. In fact, it's such a nice day, I think I'll take my girlfriend Cindy Bear for a picnic lunch. But first I need some picnic baskets.
Oh, Yogi, I don't know about that. Ranger Smith always catches you taking someone's picnic baskets.
Don't worry, Boo Boo. I think I can get plenty of picnic baskets without old Ranger Smith finding out. After all, I'm smarter than the average bear.
Heard that, Yogi? I do so hope you have a nice lunch all prepared for us.
Oh, Cindy, Honey Bunch, I were about to call you and invite you to lunch.
Well, now you don't have to. I was coming over to see you and heard you talk all about that wonderful lunch you're going to invite me to. I'm so looking forward to it, Yogi.
As indeed you should, Cindy.
When will you pick me up, Yogi? I want to make myself all pretty for you.
Okay, Cindy. How about I come by your cave at noon? Well, will that give you enough time? Do you want more time?
Yogi! Are you saying I need more time to make myself pretty for you?
Oh, no, Cindy Bear. Oh, you look fine right now. It's me that needs some time to make everything perfect for you.
Oh, okay, Yogi. Noon will be fine. See you then. You just have a wonderful picnic lunch ready for us. I have the perfect place for us to sit and eat it.
Okay, Cindy. See you then.
Oh, boy, Yogi. You're really in trouble now. How are you going to get the picnic baskets in time for lunch with Cindy?
Well, like I said, I'm smarter than the average bear.
Okay, Yogi. I hope you're right or Cindy will be mad at you.
Sheesh, don't I know it. But now I'm off to find some picnic baskets. Aha, I see some campers off in the distance. Surely they must have a picnic basket or two.
Daddy, where did our picnic basket go?
I don't know, son. I better tell the ranger.
Yeah, who took that picnic basket? It sure wasn't me. Let me find another bunch of campers.
Honey, where did our picnic basket go? I made such a nice lunch for us.
Our picnic basket is missing? Who could have taken it? I better tell the ranger.
Another missing picnic basket. Who took that picnic basket this time? It sure wasn't me. And I better find out because Cindy Bear is going to be upset with me if I don't have lunch ready for her. There's Ranger Smith with all those campers. What's going on over there?
Okay, one at a time now. Tell me again what happened.
Ranger, my boy was looking for our picnic basket, and it's nowhere to be found. I put it in the car myself, so I know we had it. Someone took our picnic basket.
Same thing happened to us, Ranger. My wife made up a wonderful picnic lunch, and now the basket is missing. Someone took our basket, too.
And I think I know who. Wait till I find that Yogi.
Oh, no. Someone else is taking the picnic baskets. I gotta find out before Ranger Smith finds me. No one over here. Nobody over there. No one over here.
Oh, yes, there is, Yogi.
Oh, Ranger Smith, what are you doing in this part of the forest?
Looking for you. So where are those picnic baskets you took?
But Ranger Smith, sir, you can plainly see it sure wasn't me.
Yeah. That's what you always say, Yogi.
Ranger Smith, if I can prove that I wasn't the one that took those picnic baskets, will you give me your own picnic basket?
Yeah, sure, Yogi. If you can prove you didn't take those baskets, I'll give you my picnic basket.
Hey, Boo-Boo, come on over here. We've got work to do. So, Boo, you see anything?
No, Yogi, nothing over here.
Let's go over to the other side of the park.
Look at that, Yogi. Someone is stealing those picnic baskets.
Yeah, Boo-Boo. Who is that? Look through your binoculars.
Okay, Yogi. Just getting them focused. Yogi, do you know who that is stealing those picnic baskets?
Who is it, Boo-Boo?
Kim Jong-un.
The leader of North Korea?
Yeah, Yogi, but they don't call him a leader.
Well, I thought they called him the dear leader.
No, they call him the great successor.
Oh, who was the great leader?
His grandfather, Yogi.
But now they call the guy the great successor?
That's right, Yogi.
Not much of a title.
No, Yogi.
I better get Ranger Smith over here and nab this successor guy.
Oh, Yogi. This is such a wonderful picnic lunch.
Why, thank you, Cindy Bear. And it was no trouble at all. Ranger Smith, why was it no trouble?
Because you're smarter than the average bear.
And in the farthest of far northern territories of Her Majesty's realm that we all know as the Dominion of Canada stood guard the Royal Mounties. We find our hero in the office of Inspector Fenwick.
But Inspector Fenwick, it can't possibly be true.
I'm afraid so, Dudley. RCMP intelligence has discovered that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is planning an invasion of fair Canada.
What I don't understand is why Canada? I thought he had a problem with our neighbor to the south, the United States. After all, we're the nice country.
He thinks that we Canadians would be mere pushovers. From here, he could pour his troops across the border into America.
The fiend! But doesn't he know of our fighting in both world wars at the side of our British allies and our storming of the beaches at Normandy?
Apparently not, Dudley.
Or of our wonderful national health care system.
No, he doesn't. Speaking of which, I need to get to Detroit, where I have to have that heart bypass operation.
But what are we to do, Inspector?
Well, Dudley, and I can't believe I'm actually saying this, that's where you come in. I'm sending you to the western shores of our fair land to patrol those areas and warn us if you see any North Korean troops attempting to violate our borders.
I'll be on my way immediately, sir.
Yes, be off, Dudley, as soon as humanly possible.
But before I leave, I really should say farewell to Nell.
You wanted to talk to me, Dudley?
Why, Nell, you got here so quickly.
I know my father is sending you to patrol and protect the shorelands of Fair Canada, and before you leave for that dangerous mission, I wanted to make sure I told you something, Dudley.
Yes, Nell?
Could you please stop in Vancouver and pick up a few things for me?
Oh, sure, Nell. I would do anything for you. What is it that I should find for you?
I have this list here. Let me unroll it for you.
Just how long is this list, Nell?
Oh, it's not too long at all. I just don't get to the big city too often, and I need to stock up on a few things.
Anything for you, Nell. And now I must be off.
Do please be careful, Dudley.
I will, Nell, but the protection of Fair Canada comes first. So, here we are, horse, patrolling the shorelands of Canada. Everything looks clear of danger, but we still must be on the lookout for any shady characters trying to hurt our fair land.
Speaking of shady characters, here I am.
Yes, it was that most dastardly of demons, Snidely Whiplash. But what was he doing here at the beach?
It certainly isn't trying to get a suntan. Of course, I'm working for Kim Jong-un, finding the best place for him to invade Canada.
But how could you commit such a fiendish act?
Oh, please. This is nothing. I do seem to have a bit of a problem because I see the Mountie sent Dudley Do-Right to patrol the beach.
Indeed, Snidely was confronting a huge obstacle to his pernicious plot, Dudley Do-Right.
Oh, please. He's not that huge of an obstacle. And whom do I spy riding in a distance but Nell Fenwick herself?
This really has been a long ride to Vancouver, but I thought better of having Dudley doing my shopping. He just won't know what colors and sizes to pick out, no matter how much I write it down for him.
Yes, Nell herself was riding along the wooded road on her way to Vancouver to do her big city shopping.
And this is my opportunity to blackmail the do-gooder of do-gooders, Dudley Do-Right. And how convenient that we have railroad tracks nearby. Let me hide in these bushes, and when Nell gets close, I'll nab her and tie her to the tracks.
Oh, isn't the countryside of Canada just wonderful? Just so scenic.
Aha! I got you, Nell.
Snidely Whiplash, you malicious monster, unhand me.
Only after I tie you to the railroad tracks.
Again? Can't you think of anything else?
But I like it.
Oh, very well. While you're tying me to these tracks, just who are you working for this time, Snidely?
North Korea.
Oh, how treacherous, Snidely. Say, isn't that the country where the gentleman in charge is called Dear Leader?
No, that was his father.
Or was it Great Leader?
Great Leader was his grandfather.
So what do they call the man in charge?
The Great Successor.
Great Successor? Not much of a title.
Not really, but what do I care? I have you tied to the train tracks to lure that mushy Mountie away from the beach.
Oh, help! Please help, Dudley. Please rescue me from this malicious monster.
Hark! Who do I hear? It sounds like the lovely Nell.
Oh, help! Please help. Dudley, please save me from Snidely Whiplash.
Snidely Whiplash, the fiend! Horse, off we go! We must save Nell!
Oh, Dudley, you got here just in time to save me from that oncoming train.
Yes, Dudley, but to save Nell, you must take your eyes off the beach.
Not a problem. Horse, watch the beach while I untie Nell.
Rat! Boiled again!
And you, Snidely Whiplash, will come with me back to the fort to be tried by a jury of your peers. After all, this is Canada, founded on the principles of Anglo-Saxon legal traditions.
Yeah. Anglo-Saxon legal traditions.
Oh, Dudley, you saved me and Canada again.
Of course, Nell. A Mountie always gets his man, and you both mean so much to me.
Are you talking about our national health care system again?
Yes, Nell, I am.
Speaking of which, could we stop in Seattle? I need a little Botox.
Good morning, my dear old dad of mine.
Oggie, what's that you got wearing this morning, my son, and what all who's what that's supposed to be?
It's vacation time, dear old dad of mine. That's what you told me last night. And where are we going this year, old dad of mine?
Well, Oggie, we would hunt caribou in Timbuktu, or moose in Mesopotamia, or even pizza in South Pizzeria.
Well, which of those wonderful possibilities, old dad of mine, have you chosen?
Well, Oggie, neither and I. We are economically forced to fish for minnows again.
Okay, disappointed father of mine. I know you had your heart set on a hunting trip this year.
That is so correct, my son.
I wonder what's on cable TV right now. Let me see. I can just push these buttons and scan the channels.
This is the BBC World Report with Alison Jay.
Oh, darn it. It's the news. Let me turn to another channel.
Wait a minute, my son, look. There are dogs behind those barbed wire fences. Let's see what's going on here.
As you can see here, hundreds of very scared pooches, rather dogs, of the canine species are trapped behind those fences by the North Korean government. It appears to be just another attempt by North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to control the canine population in his country.
Doggone it, dear old dad of mine. What does that mean old Kim Jong-un gonna do with those doggies?
Well, my worried and frowning son of mine, I think the KJU, as some of us like to call them, has dastardly terrible plans for them. I'm afraid, my son.
Dear also worried old dad of mine, do you think his new wife, Ri Sul-ju, would let anything happen to those poor trapped canine creatures?
Well, my son, even though both KJU and wife are what many people call mediagenics, they still have to eat dinner every night.
Dear old dad of mine, I am not sure I know what you mean, and I don't think I want to, but maybe we can do something about this highly unfortunate situation, dear old dad of mine.
Oggie, my ingenious son of mine, I still don't know how you managed to get us tickets on Border Collie Airlines to fly all the way to the provincial capital of North Korea.
Dear old dad of mine, I simply placed a telephone call to Pyongyang, the capital, and said I was the agent for Dennis Rodman, and that he was ready for another game of hoops with the third supreme leader of North Korea.
That's a hoops dream story come true, my son of mine. I am still amazed that you, my son of mine, were able to snatch these tickets to North Korea.
It was nothing, dear old dad of mine. Nothing at all.
Gentlemen and ladies, please, I must have your total and undivided attention. This is a very important announcement. But first, this music, which is the official national anthem for the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
She means, dear old dad of mine, the DPRK.
How do you know so much about this country, dearest Augie, my smart and so worldly son of mine?
We just studied it in my world history class, dear old dad.
And what else do you know about this nasty little place?
Well, it was first annexed by Japan way back in 1910. And after World War II, it was divided into two zones. The United States got South Korea, and the Soviet Union got North Korea.
Oggie, now I see how you were able to finagle those airline tickets.
And so, gentlemen and ladies, now that our national anthem is complete, I cannot tell you what is on the menu other than it does taste very good.
And as they say,
it tastes a lot like chicken.
I think I will pass on the main course. It sounds a bit suspicious to me.
I think you are right, dear old dad of mine.
And in case you wonder, our cinema for today, or should I say our movie, will be Dennis Rodman in Hoop Dreams, or How I Lost to Kim Jong-un Again.
I guess they won't be showing that other movie.
Which one is that, Oggie, my son?
You know, the one that caused all the trouble with the computers back in late December.
You mean?
Yes, dear old dad, I do mean the film that sparked the international incident, meaning that cyber attack on Sony Pictures. Yes, I do mean The Interview.
Oggie, my son, maybe you should not say the name of that movie so loud.
And we will not be showing that movie featuring the music of Katy Perry, even though our Supreme Leader loves her music. In fact, I think he thinks about her music all the time. Although I have not seen him really cry when he hears her sing, he does drink margaritas. And just so you know, we have no plastic bags that are drifting through the wind wanting to start again.
Dear old dad of mine, aren't margaritas awfully sweet? I heard that on TV. Does that mean Kim Jong-un is gay? Not that there's anything wrong with that, of course.
Augie, my son, I think it's time to take a nap, and hopefully soon we will be in North Korea. They are awfully sweet, come to think of it.
Okay, dear old dad of mine. I will just check out the lay of the land with my new GPS map system I loaded onto my iPad before we took off. Maybe that will help us to quickly locate the compound where those sweet canines are being held captive.
Okay, my GPS son of mine. Good idea.
Now, let me see just where those canines might be. Oh, yeah. I better keep my music soft on my headset so it doesn't disturb my dear old dad of mine. Since I'm the only one awake right now, I'll just tell everyone what's happening. As the plane is landing, I'm getting ready to tell my dear old dad and still a bit weary-eyed doggy daddy of mine what I found about where those canines are being held captive by our sweet old Kim Jong-un. Dear old dad of mine, we've landed.
Oh, that's good, my son of mine. Did you sleep at all?
Not too much. I was working on my new GPS program.
And what did you find out?
I think I know where the doggy canines are being held against their will.
And where is that, my son of mine?
34.032374 degrees north latitude and 125.75576 east longitude.
And exactly where is that in the capital city?
Well, according to my GPS program, and also the CIA and NS data sources I tapped into, that place is the canine critters precisely at 1229 Sungree Street.
Is that a house or a warehouse? Where is it?
I place it one block from the statues of Kim Sung and Kim Jong II on a side street.
My son of mine, let's roll.
Here we are. It seems awfully deserted and very quiet.
And look, dear old son of mine, right across the street is the Sungree Margarita Bar and Grill. And there is a whole parade of armored limousines parked outside the door, where that flag with the colors of the rainbow is flying.
Let's sneak around the back of the warehouse, dear old dad of mine, and save all of those doggies before KJU dances out of that bar and catches us.
Good idea. My very smart and clever son of mine, we can load them all into these three large vans we have. My son, and Kim Jong-un will never know.
Phew! That's all of them, dear old dad of mine. What should we do now?
Since you already took care of the part of the assignment, I already managed to secure a 767 for us and the canine critters, all thanks to Border Collie Airlines.
In the meantime, I think I know what music I want to have piped into the plane when we take off from this terrible place, where they starve their own people while others dine on canines.
And what song, my dear son of mine, might that be?
Who let the dogs out?
This has been The Adventures of Augie Doggie and Doggy Daddy, where they have traveled to a land far away and where we should all stay far, far away from. The terrible land of the undemocratic People's Republic of Korea.
When we last left our heroes, Mount Flatten was floating through the sky towards Frostbite Falls.
Say, Bullwinkle, what is that floating in the sky over there?
Looks like some kind of cloud, Rocky.
Well, I don't know, Bullwinkle. It doesn't look like a cloud to me. In fact, it looks like Mount Flatten.
What? Another Mount Flatten? That can't be.
I don't know if it's a different Mount Flatten, but whatever it is, it's coming this way.
Indeed it was. When Mount Flatten let loose from its moorings in the west, it caught the prevailing winds heading towards Frostbite Falls.
Let me fly up there and see exactly what it is. Boy, that sure looks like Mount Flatten. I'm going to get closer. What does that sign say on that mountain? Uncle Dulap's Upsidaisium Mine. It is Mount Flatten. It must have let loose from the moorings.
Like I said, Mount Flatten let loose from its moorings at the military base out west.
Sorry, I missed that part.
That's okay. I'm not doing anything all that important except narrating your show.
Hey, I said I was sorry.
Okay. But Mount Flatten had indeed let loose from its moorings and was heading towards Frostbite Fault.
How convenient for us.
Da, how convenient. We no have to work so hard. Fearless leader will be happily surprised by what we bring him.
Who there?
Just open door, you numbskull!
Fearless leader, what you doing here?
Ah, what you doing?
Idiots, can't you see what is out there?
You mean Mount Flatten?
Yeah, that is exactly what we need to prove ourselves to the North Pottsylvanians. It would be high impact.
What is high impact?
It is when, you know how. Well, I don't really know how. But this seems like a high impact project to me. And as the Frostbite Falls Regional Espionage Supervisor, I say we get Mount Flatten.
But what North Pottsylvanians do with all that obsidasium?
Dumkopf, think how easy it would be for North Pottsylvanians to make missiles. No need for any fuel. Missiles just float to America.
That's what I call high impact.
Yes, indeed. North Pottsylvanian missiles floating towards the United States would be high impact. But our heroes had other ideas.
Bullwinkle, that really is Mount Flatten.
But how can that be? I gave it to the government to take care of.
You might have your answer right there.
Good point. But what do we do now, Rocky?
I'm not sure, Bullwinkle.
But we sure, aren't we, fearless leader?
Yeah, stupid! We must figure out a way to capture Mount Flatten and deliver it to North Pennsylvania.
But how?
Yes, how were they to do that?
So, fearless leader, how we get Mount Flatten?
Why are you asking me?
Because you're boss.
As your boss, I delegate to you two to find a way to capture Mount Flatten and bring it to me.
Duh, you certainly are boss.
Meanwhile, I will go and work on your performance reviews. These North Pennsylvanians are sticklers for procedure.
So, Boris, what is plan to get Mount Flatten? Boris?
I'm thinking.
So while Boris is concocting yet another one of his plans, Rocky and Bullwinkle are working on a plan of their own.
Say, Rocky, what if we got a really long lasso and roped Mount Flatten and tied it to my house?
I'm not so sure about that, Bullwinkle. Have you ever used a lasso?
Well, no.
Then we probably shouldn't try it now. After all, it would be a long throw to get a lasso way up there.
Boris, darling, what if we get helicopter and push Mount Flatten to North Pennsylvania?
Natasha, that is a brilliant plan.
Once in a while, I think of good plan.
Only one problem. Where we get helicopter?
Oops, didn't think of that. We need plan to get helicopter.
Let's ask Phyllis leader.
I like that plan.
Rocky, I know what to do.
Really, Bullwinkle?
Yeah, what if you flew to Mount Flatten, went into the Upsidasium mine, took out some Upsidasium, brought it back here, we glue the Upsidasium to the lasso, and then the lasso would just float up to Mount Flatten. We wouldn't have to throw it at all.
That does sound like a good plan, Bullwinkle. But what if I just flew up there with the rope?
That would work too.
Who's there?
You're the favorite spies.
Ugh! Come in.
Hi, boss.
Hello, darling.
What do you two want?
We need helicopter to push Mount Flatten to North Pennsylvania.
That's your plan?
Da, that plan.
Actually, that's not a bad plan. Here, you can take my helicopter. Make sure the tank is full when you bring it back.
Thanks, fearless leader. Here we go, Natasha.
Head that way, Boris, darling.
Si. What that?
Let me see. Boris, it's Squirrel. Moose can't be far away.
Yes, it was Rocky flying towards Mount Flatten. preparing the lasso to tow around the floating mountain.
I sure hope Bullwinkle is ready for this.
Faster, Boris, faster! We must beat Skvall!
I'm trying!
Here goes!
And Rocky got the lasso around the top of Mount Flatten. Meanwhile, Bullwinkle grabbed the rope and started pulling the great mountain towards a stake in his backyard.
Man, this mountain is heavy!
And just as Bullwinkle started to move the mountain, those fiendish foes were flying towards the mountain.
Boris, look out! Moose and Skvall moved the mountain!
I know!
But it was too late. Boris couldn't move out of the way fast enough and crashed into Mount Flatten.
I don't think this high impact that Fearless Leader was talking about.
No high impact.
We did it, Bullwinkle. We have Mount Flatten tied to your backyard. What are you going to do with it now? Give it to the government?
I'm not sure, Rock. Maybe I'll leave it where it is for now. But guess what, Rocky?
What, Bullwinkle?
Sony Studios called me.
Wow, Bullwinkle, what do they want?
They want to fly me to Los Angeles for an interview.
The stars of cartoons on the radio 2015 were Ben Abramson, Rene Bouchel, Siegfried Christoph, Arthur Dexter, Vicky Dumay, Todd Eaves, Ryan Farrell, Brett Hodek, Susan Lean, Jim McClure, Teresa Myers, John Oglexi, and Cameron Spencer. Special sound effects were created by Barb Tyler. The show was directed by Vicky Dumay. Cartoons on the Radio 2015 was written by Steve Brown and Mike Ulstrup. Today's announcer was yours truly, Julie Burton. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha law firm of Aaliyah Dumay, Dunn, and McTernan, and the Brown Ulstrup Performing Arts Foundation. Join us on March 7th when the WGTD Radio Theater presents our next live radio theater performance, live from Kenosha campus of Gateway Technical College. For the WGTD Radio Theater, this is Julie Burton signing off. Have a great day.